Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here today on the show. And let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
The pitch. In the dirt, it's a wild pitch. Here comes Kiermaier home. The Rays have won it. Kevin Kiermaier running across home plate as the winning run on a wild pitch that got right through the legs of Danny Jansen just in the moment that it looked like the Blue Jays might wiggle off what seemed like an impossible hook. And the Rays are gifted the winning run in the bottom of the 10th inning, and they beat the Blue Jays 7-6.
They were down 6-1 in that game, and they rallied to win it on that wild pitch in the 9th inning. But you know you're really struggling as a franchise at the gate when they're using hockey horns when you score a run.
I was waiting for the goalie to make an appearance when that Ooga horn went off.
Call, by the way, on the Rays radio network. And the Rays have been playing, obviously, really well. So they win it last night. You asked about Clint Hurdle.
Yes. Well, your thoughts.
I don't know what to say about the Clint Hurdle. He's not the issue. All right? He is not the issue. And to be honest with you, I don't think the general manager is the issue. Now, this sounds simple, but it actually goes, this is going to be one that goes right to the top. If you are going to mandate to your team that you are on a budget, and this is your budget, and you have to work around it, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect? Their job is to work around the budget.
I think that frustrates Pirate fans everywhere. I think that the average typical fan for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they are intense, does not trust the ownership of the Pirates right now. They just don't.
And well, again, they're being told,
yeah,
these are the parameters. Make it work. Well, okay, making it work, you can't be a magician. And I'm not saying you have to spend $150 million on payroll. But in today's game, you have to spend more than $65.
Yeah, that gets you a lot of good AAA players at that rate, Steve. But the criticism of Hurdle as a manager has been along the lines of only having his relief pitchers pitch an inning and then bringing somebody else in, and sometimes that has not worked out well. Sometimes they've run out of relief pitchers. Sometimes a guy that maybe not ready to pitch goes in because one of their best relievers has already done his inning, and then the next guy up gets clobbered. A lot of fan unrest over, I think, use of the bullpen. Question about some of the player arrangements, who's playing where, which are managerial in nature. So, and maybe it's time for a change just to get a fresh face in the manager's office, a different attitude perhaps. We'll see.
Well, let's start with the pitching part of it. This is an organizational philosophy which I massively have disagreed with for years, because I had to watch it play out on this level in this ballpark for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go out there, and well, it's the end of the second inning. What do you mean they're pulling him? All right, well, they're doing what? Oh, his pitch limit was 45, and he went 38? Okay, I'm not exaggerating. That's an exact quote.
Yeah.
And I would sit back, and I'd say, what are they doing here? I have watched them baby pitchers on pitch counts all the way through the organization. And you know what? Look at the IL. They all get there. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They're babying this guy, babying that guy, and they all end up in the IL.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what they need to do is to have a long, serious conversation with John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, and Greg Maddux, and ask, what in the heck did you guys do?
Exactly.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. They need to ask, what did you guys do? What was your regimen? What allowed you to have some semblance of durability? Because babying these people has not worked on this level. No. And this is an organizational philosophy.
No question. Hey, Steve, I think we have a call from Chris in Shamokin Dam on the Pirate ownership question.
Chris, how are you today? Sorry, I don't have TeamViewer working. That's why I didn't know there's a call, so my apologies.
Glad to let you know.
Thanks. Well, hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
I'm doing well, Chris. It's great to hear from you.
Well, I have two comments on Pirate ownership. First, I agree wholeheartedly about what you said about Mr. Nutting. He's more worried about taking the profits and spending it down at Seven Springs.
New ski lift.
Well, because, I think it was Bob Smizek a few years ago said that the Pirates' payroll was covered before they sold one ticket. So he doesn't care about ticket sales.
Yeah, and that's true. And see, and I go back to last year, Chris,
when they got the $50 million and didn't spend any of it.
And you know, how many times have you heard me talk about that, Chris? So you knew exactly where I was going.
The other people I'd like to blame is the city council for Pittsburgh, because way back when the city owned or had management of the Pirates, and Mark Cuban wanted to buy, and they turned him down.
Well, Major League Baseball, Chris,
with Mark Cuban running him.
No, actually, Chris, I'll correct you on that one. That Major League Baseball, for whatever reason, does not want Mark Cuban owning the team. That's a Major League Baseball thing. That's not a Pittsburgh Council thing. That's actually a Major League Baseball that the ownership,
if they allow some of the other high spenders to do it, they should have let Mark Cuban come in, hometown guy with the money to run the franchise right.
I hear you. I am not in any way, shape, or form against what you're saying. I think Mark Cuban would have been a great addition for the Pirates, and he would have been a great addition to shake up Major League Baseball a little bit. Yep. But the owners of Major League Baseball and the people that don't run it, right? Mark Cuban's on the outside looking in. So that's not a Pittsburgh thing. That's an MLB thing.
Well, it's a shame, though. But thank you for correcting me.
Oh, no. It wasn't meant to. I thought I would at least get the record straight.
I understand.
Hey, I think I found a soulmate in Chris. Chris, I agree with you. But I also think it has to go down on the field, too, a little bit with Clint Hurdle and Ray Searidge, the pitching coach. Some of those things, those experiments, or whatever we want to call them, have not worked out.
Look at what Garrett Cole is doing this year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's start with that, right? He goes to Houston. It's amazing how Charlie Morton also thrived in Houston, and Charlie Morton's thriving in Tampa Bay. In Pittsburgh, he was a mess.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole was told in Pittsburgh, we don't want you throwing four-seam fastballs.
Yep.
And I'm taking this from an interview he did in Boston. I listened to it. This is not from the land of make-believe. Because they wanted to keep pitch counts down and pitch over the plate. He goes to Houston, and they said, let's take a look at your four-seam fastball. He said, well, I didn't really throw any in Pittsburgh. He goes, they said, what are you, nuts?
Yeah.
And now look at them.
You know,
look at the trade they made with Tampa Bay last summer.
Yeah.
They got Chris Archer, a head case every team he's been on, and gave up. Of course, they were rated as prospects or marginally players, but what did Tampa get? An all-star in Austin Meadows and a good quality pitcher once he got away from the Pittsburgh system.
And Tyler Glasnow,
Chris and Steve, you know, I wonder, going back to the great pitchers of the 1950s and 60s, where would a Tom Seaver, where would a Sandy Koufax, where would a Steve Carlton be if they had to be part of the Pittsburgh pitching system that Sarige and Clint Hurdle manage? I think it would be awful.
Well, first of all, I think let's start with Bob Gibson. When the second Ray Sarige left the dugout, he'd tell him to go sit down. Sit down. I'm not talking to you. Get out of here.
Exactly. And there'd be a high fast one to the head, and it wouldn't be out of batter.
Like, get out of here. Hey, go back. Why do you go back and play checkers? I'm going to go pitch.
What would Cincinnati's manager do against one of those pitchers?
Mm-hmm. Bang.
You're supposed to be able to pitch inside. That's one thing I will stand up for Ray Sarige.
Yeah, you are supposed to pitch inside. Just don't pitch up and in. Okay? Up and in, I don't like. Now, I don't think. Now, it's either one of two things, Chris. It's either an organizational philosophy up and in, or it's incompetence. It could be a mixture of two because, again, these aren't the greatest pitchers on the planet.
Well,
no, they've taken a lot of rejects and tried to recycle them.
Well, you know, the batting helmet is not truly part of the strike zone.
Except, no, not at all.
Except in Pittsburgh, no. Apparently.
Yeah, I don't mind pitching in. Chris is right. Claim your half of the plate. Chris, I completely agree. Claim your half of the plate. That's what you'll find, for example, when they make the transition to wooden bats. Pitchers now feel the freedom to pitch inside, which is really good. As opposed to trying to pitch to, back then, aluminum bats, which you didn't want to pitch inside. But you have to claim your half of the plate, but don't pitch up and in. I think there's a certain area that if you got to stay away from on a consistent basis, you got to stay away from a man's head.
For all the right reasons.
When you talk about pitch counts, Harvey Haddix in his 12-inning perfect game, 119 pitches, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Something in that ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah, and again,
all right, Steve, have a good day.
Chris, you have a great one.
Yes, thanks, Chris.
Looking forward to football at Happy Valley.
You got that right. So am I, Chris. I'm really looking forward to it.
Take care.
24
you
days,
too.
Steve, I think, is it?
24 days? 24 days. Exactly right.
Boy, thank goodness my math teacher taught me right. Well, Chris, I think, as I said, I found a soulmate in Chris. Geez.
I think Chris, there's nothing Chris said that I disagree with. Nothing. I know with Kapler, you're always, now let's think about the Phillies for a second. With Kapler, you're always going to be looking at, is he managing properly with the analytics? All right. You're always going to ask that question. All right. I think as Matt Leon pointed out in the previous half hour, when he's staying out of it, they seem to play better. Hurdle does change a lot of pitchers all the time. It's the same as the Tampa Bay thing where you just take the game and just drag it into. But sometimes I wonder if he's looking around saying, I don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Do I have anybody?
There is a bit of that as well, but he even his good relief pitchers, one inning and done. And I just don't get that, frankly. And then the other thing, they've got the one of the premier closers in baseball. And he's sitting on the bench because they haven't been in it lately.
Was my point at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
My point at the trade deadline is, you can trade your closer. There's nothing to close.
Exactly. No. He's like one of those Bob Uecker up in the top row. I mean, he's not seen the mound in a while.
I mean, they have to sometimes pitch him just to give him work
that's right. And they even haven't done that very well.
Now, tonight, I think they'll win tonight. Yeah, that sounds daring, doesn't it?
Oh.
Did you see who Milwaukee's throwing?
It's the guy that pitched for Lewisburg High School's JV team last year.
Drew Pomerantz.
Oh, okay. He's
Pomerantz does have a tendency to give up a lot of runs.
We call that the high ERA.
Oh, my goodness. He was an all-star with San Diego. He made the all-star team.
Wow.
He got traded to Boston. And he had a few good outings here and there, and he had a few outings that were just regrettable. And it was the point last year when they were in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to release a new roster every round. And
right.
They go, all right, good, not there. Okay. So Trevor Williams goes for the Pirates. Yeah. He's been very much up and down, but they got a shot.
Yes, they do. Hope springs eternal in Pittsburgh tonight.
They're 4-18 since the All-Star break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Matty Ice is now in the power chair.
Hello, boys.
Hey, Matt.
And they just released the Bucknell basketball schedule for the upcoming season, huh?
That is correct.
I am keenly interested as a season ticket holder for the Bison to hear who is coming to Lewisburg in the non-conference matchups. So that's a great thing to finally get about time to renew the old season tickets. Unlike Penn State, I think you can have a dumb phone and still get your season tickets.
Yeah, you can get it.
You know, I was thinking, Steve, earlier in the week we talked about having a Penn State football game with a Bucknell, and now we've got this thing with Ticketmaster and Penn State and no more real tickets or email tickets, etc. I think tomorrow I'm going to give Sandy Barber a call and let her know what I think.
Okay, you can do that. I think it is to quote Howard Hughes.
Okay,
it's the wave of the future.
I think you're right. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But there's some old folks, and I put myself now in that category, who really don't want to get in with all this technology. I'm very happy with my dumb phone, and I always like having a real ticket because I collect ticket stubs for whatever reason of events I've been to on my bucket list. Now I won't even have that. Can't hang my...
Actually, you can get that.
How can I?
Actually, you can get that online. You can get your stub for the game online or something like that. There's a way to do it.
I mean, I understand Ticketmaster. It's a... For the price they charge as a fee to get you a ticket, I understand they have to do that to make money. But, man, they should be able to personally deliver it, have some guy, you know, that's a Uber driver, bring the tickets to my house. And now it's just, you know, it's all done electronically. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I'll freely admit, just so everyone knows, I have never bought anything using my phone. I never have. So I've never gone to a Dunkin' Donuts, hey, boom, and, you know, off my account, bingo. You know, some people, I think, do that at Starbucks. I've never done that, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm the same way.
So I'm not going to sit here and say, it's really easy. I don't know. But people who do know tell me it's really, really easy.
I mean,
Matt, do you do that?
I've done it for some games, and it actually is pretty simple. Once you purchase your ticket, they send you the link, and then you can hook it up on your smartphone, and then all you have to do is just put your smartphone there at the gate, and you're in. So it's not too bad. You just have to get the link when you buy it off, like, StubHub or Ticketmaster or any of those sites.
Now, again, Bob's problem is Bob doesn't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm one step above two tin cans and a long string. So,
right. And there are people like I said, I mentioned Matt Millen, for example. Matt takes great pride. He says, "Hey, look at this, Steve."
Steve, as a quick aside, how is Matt Millen doing health wise? We know he had a heart transplant.
He's doing well. I mean, he has to take anti-rejection drugs all the time. He's going to be doing that the rest of his life.
Sure.
Isn't he returning to the booth?
Yeah, he's going to be back full time. He's going to do a full schedule this year. There's no part time schedule. He's doing a full schedule.
That's great.
I'm happy for him. I mean, the last time I talked to him was in April, but everything I understand, I mean, he felt really good in April.
He is one of the great characters in the Penn State football family.
Oh, okay. Here's a story. One time, Matt, he and Pat went over to visit Joe. And this is when Matt's kids were little. And one of them, whichever one it was, I have no idea. It's running around grabbing this or getting into that, whatever. And Matt's like, hey, come, get back here. Hey, stop it. Come on, get back here. And Joe starts laughing. And he says, what are you laughing at? He goes, you got one like you.
Yeah, good for Matt Millen. May he always have his dumb phone with him.
Oh, he will, believe me. But yeah, look, smartphone technology, what's the percentage of people that have smartphones? Pretty high.
Yeah, no question.
It is pretty high. And I do understand your conundrum.
It took one phrase.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. We're talking about whether Clint Hurdle should stay or not. I mean, I just don't see anybody out there, no offense, with a magic wand. Now, Ray Searidge, I think Ray Searidge has received a lot of credit, and justifiably so, when it comes to A.J. Burnett and what he did with Francisco Liriano. I'm going to leave it at that because with the younger pitchers, I have not been enamored with player development.
And, of course, A.J. Burnett is no longer in Major League Baseball. That was a one-and-done project.
But he did a good job with them. So, I want to make sure that people get credit where credit is due. I thought with Liriano and with and Burnett, he did a good job.
Well, Burnett, I think, had a fierce competitive spirit that Searidge was able to tap into, along with some technical changes. And I just loved Burnett when he was with the Pirates. Loved him.
And you're right. He was a competitor like that. He could be tough to take, but he was also a leader. It helped that he had leadership quality. Leadership quality meant a lot with what he's doing.
Yep.
And leadership quality comes through. I mean, look, you know, just even in your own office, Bob, when you were working, leadership quality meant something.
Yep. Somebody's got to take charge.
Yep. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you've got to have that. If you don't have that, then you've got, you know, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. So Maddie has posted the non-conference Bucknell schedule on the Facebook page.
Yes, it's on the Twitter page, too, at Steve Jones PSU.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, your home games are Vermont on November 10th, Hofstra November 13th, and then November 30th is Princeton, December 7th is Albany. And the road games include a trip to Happy Valley November 19th.
Ah.
That's part of the Barclays tournament.
Yeah, and you know, Steve.
Penn State gets home games with Yale and Bucknell out of that.
And you know, Steve, the question that night is, who do we listen to? It's a choice of you or Doug Birdsong calling the play-by-play. I'm going to listen to both of you.
Split the halves up. One half is Steve, one half is Doug.
No. I have a feeling I'll be there in person somewhere.
I want to try and come out, too.
You guys should come out. It's a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Nothing else going on.
Have yourself a good time.
Absolutely.
If I do that, I may have to take off the next day with the early wake-up call I have.
On the other hand, we could do the Steve Jones show from State College, Pennsylvania, University Park. Just a thought.
Well, the last time Bucknell was here, I did the show from the from the press box.
And I was with you on a time when the third-ranked Michigan Wolverines came to the Bryce Jordan Center and were beaten by the Lions. We did the show live right from the press box.
We did. And that was the night they led, and Penn State then rallied and beat them. And
yes.
They had Trey Burke.
Oh, yes. Best point guard in America, supposedly.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a heck of a team. Yeah. I mean, those guys ended up making the championship game.
Well, you know, this is a Bucknell team, Steve, that I think, you know, when they play well, they play really, really well. But they have spurts where they're inconsistent. And the guy they're going to miss this year that I think could match up okay with a couple of the Penn State players is a guy named Nate Sestina, who is taking his game to the University of Kentucky.
And he just got a Twitter shout-out from Coach Cal the other day.
He's going to be a Wildcat as a graduate transfer.
Well, he got more than that because I think CBS Sports was rating the transfers. He was the number 4 rated grad transfer in the country.
And boy, can he... Well,
yeah, it's not surprising.
And there were times last year where he literally took over a game, and he is a competitor all the way from Emporium, Pennsylvania, which you can't get there from here. There's just no way you can.
And he will play very well there. There's no getting around it. He will play very well for Kentucky. Now, will he be able to take over games? No. But
sounds like he's going to get playing time, like a fairly significant amount from what I'm seeing.
Oh, he's absolutely going to get playing time. I mean, he'll be an older guy they're going to lean on a little bit. Now, is he going to take over games? No. Okay.
Not at that level. But, yeah, so the question is, for Bucknell against Penn State and the Vermont Catamounts and teams like that, Albany, I think they're the Great Danes.
That is correct.
They are.
And who's going to be the replacement for Sestina? Who's going to be the big guy inside that's going to be able to muscle up against some bruisers that the other teams will have?
And also, who's going to take the shot at the end of the game? Because I think Kimmel McKenzie's a big loss as well. He was another guy, Bob, that took over games when you needed to the most, especially down the stretch at the end of the regular season when the team was struggling shooting, especially from beyond the arc, and in the playoff games all the way up through the championship game at Colgate.
The Colgate game, Bucknell was way down at halftime. He came out and hit about 4 or 5 threes in a row.
Yeah, beginning of the second half.
Yeah, right into it. And of course, a season before that, he made the ESPN top 10 list with when Bucknell came back at home against Colgate.
Is that the one where Doug yelled out, "You are my hero"?
Yes.
Yes.
Doug made ESPN and everywhere else on the internet for his call of that game. I think he screamed, because he always does his trademark calls on a three-pointer, is bingo. And you could hear it here at the studios of Sunbury Broadcasting, all the way from Lewisburg. And then Kimball McKenzie, "You are my hero." Jeez, it was great.
"You are my hero."
Yes. So yeah, I think Matt, you're right. Losing Kimball McKenzie, he could play very well and he could shoot. So it's going to be a challenging season for the Bison under Coach Davis, but they seem to have done really well under his leadership.
Yeah, if anybody can do it and turn it around, keep things going with a lot of these new faces, is Coach Davis. I think he's the best coach easily in all of the Patriot League. No question. Yeah, wow. The way he manages the game, mm-hmm. the way he manages personalities, I just don't think there's anybody better.
Well, I know I talked to him enough on this show.
Yeah.
Where I just flat out like his style. I like his style because I think he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And when I say he gets it, he doesn't overthink it. And there's no way on the planet he makes it about himself.
No. You know, it was such a coaching contrast when Bucknell travels to play the Lions at the Bryce Jordan, because Coach Davis is, unanimated, whereas Coach Chambers at Penn State's very animated. And it's a real contrast in coaching styles and things. Coach Davis is in the huddle. He almost seems like he's talking in a whisper. And the place could be screaming and yelling and pandemonium in the stands, etc. And he's just matter of fact. So it'd be an excellent contrast.
By the way, 4 days later, after they make the trip to Happy Valley, the Bison will be heading up to the Carrier Dome to play the Cuse after the women didn't make the trip last year.
See, and that's part of the same thing, though. That's part of the tournament.
Right.
So Penn State goes to the Barclays Center, and at the Barclays Center, Penn State will play Ole Miss, and then on that Friday, they'll play either Syracuse or Oklahoma State. So this is how these tournaments work.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time the Bison ventured to the Carrier Dome and Coach Boeheim, Bucknell won. I think they beat a Jerry McNamara-led team, the former Scranton high school star who was at Syracuse. I think the 2005-2006 Bucknell team that went on to beat Arkansas in the first round of the NCAA tournament and lost in a very controversial fashion to Memphis, coached by Calipari, of all things, in the second round, I think that team beat Syracuse. Now, this year's team is nowhere near that, but the last trip, it took them, notice they weren't scheduled for like 12, 13 years in between.
Yeah.
just wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, well, Syracuse is known for that. They are accused of padding their preseason record for whatever reason.
Yeah, they like playing at home, and they like taking the money that goes with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
No.
It's like, here's a good way to get some cash. Good. Go for it. That's in their athletic department. They need the money, but are you completely? I'm not. That wasn't meant to be a joke.
Well, it was.
I know. I'm saying though, like at Duke, you need the cash for your basketball program. I mean, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with basketball at Syracuse. You do need your basketball money. So I don't blame him for playing a lot of home games. I just think what it does is that it takes away when you hit certain games later in the year and you haven't gone through the grinder.
That's right.
Now it becomes a problem.
Especially at crunch time in the game because you haven't faced it.
Right. And I think that becomes a problem.
You know, was it 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago, or maybe three, where Bucknell, they knew going into the preseason that they would have a fairly good team. So who did they schedule? Right. North Carolina.
Yeah.
Damn near beat them. Maryland, beat them. Bucknell's not afraid.
Nate's smart about that. He's very smart about that because he knows in order to get ready for the Patriot, if he can test his team enough, because look, he's not scheduling to get an at-large bid to the tournament, because there is no Patriot team on the planet that's getting an at-large bid to the tournament. None.
Right? Not going to happen.
You have to win the conference to do it. And, you know, unless you're a Patriot team that goes 29-0 or 31-0 and then you lose the championship game. Okay, now you might get in.
That was the year that Lehigh won with C.J. McCollum over the Mike Muscala-led Bucknell Bison, who had been to the tournament two previous years. That was a big question whether they, and a lot of folks thought Bucknell should have gone in with Lehigh, and of course Lehigh did the conference well by beating a team called Duke in the first round.
That's right. I remember that game.
Yeah.
I understand all that.
Yeah.
It's still not going to happen.
Oh, by the way.
Here's the deal. If you're sitting there and you're looking at large schedules, so let's just take a Big Ten team. All right. Say a Big Ten team is, let's say, 20-12. All right. And they've gone 10-10 in the league. All right. Now, let's see. In the months of January, February, and March, you have played Michigan State twice, Purdue twice, Michigan twice, Ohio State twice. You played at Wisconsin once. You played at Maryland. I'm sorry. This is what you're doing on an everyday basis. Okay? The Patriot team, unfortunately for them, that was November.
That's right.
Where you got one shot. Well, and there's just, I think everybody at Bucknell understands what I'm saying. I don't think the people at Bucknell are arguing that, hey, look, we need to, no, I think they understand.
By the way, that guy, C.J. McCollum from Lehigh, I think he's out with Portland.
Yep, still with him
and
now.
his contract that he signed a few years ago is only $125 million.
He and Damian Lillard are really, really a great combo.
They were both really good in the playoffs, too, until Portland fell flat against the Warriors.
And, you know, Steve, the night of the after Lehigh beat Duke, Coach Krzyzewski was doing his post-game press conference, and he flat out said, look, I don't want to take away anything from Lehigh. They were the better team, and they deserved to win. And, oh, by the way, C.J. McCollum, their player, he was the best player on the court tonight, hands down. Yeah. And not a bad tribute. And also from the Bucknell team that lost when McCollum hit about a 40-footer with no time left in the Patriot League final. And Mike Muscala, still in the NBA, now with Oklahoma City.
Right. No, that's what I mean. There's always a lot of really good talent out there.
Yeah.
Really good talent across the board. That's what makes college basketball. And you're seeing what happened in college football was this. When they transitioned years and years ago to 85 scholarships and 25 max in a year, what happened at that point was it really started, and I know Alabama's been dominant, and I do know that that Clemson's been dominant. I got that part, okay? I understand that. But what has happened is that it's really opened up the playing field. Well, in men's basketball, when they went from 15 to 13 scholarships, it did the same thing. The parity in men's basketball is incredible. That's why you do end up getting Lehigh winning over Duke, Mercer beating Duke, you know, the older teams.
Sure. And you know what? In the past, in football, for example, Nebraska was famous for stockpiling players to prevent them from going anywhere else. And, you know, and same in basketball. Certain schools were stockpiling. Well, now you can't do it. You can get a lot of players, but you need them.
Right. Well, now, with the rules about the draft, the draft rules now, Bob, are done in such a way where you look at the draft rules and you say, you know what? I better play him now. I might lose him.
Oh, well, if your name's John Calipari at Kentucky, it's a good chance.
Well, I mean, it's more than just that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about in football, too. You got to look at it, and you got to think about things in 3-year increments now.
That's exactly right. Not 5 years with a 4 years and a red shirt thrown in. You're right. It's 3 years, which has really spread the talent around.
It has, you know. And look, do you think Penn State gets Barkley and has Barkley last year, and Miles Sanders is really good. But just the mere threat of Barkley standing back there, what do you think that does for the offense?
Oh, that adds a score or two to every game.
Right, because last year would have been his senior season. But look, it was best for Saquon Barkley, and yes, it was best for Penn State that he went to the NFL, because now you got people saying, hey, I can go. I can be the next Saquon Barkley of Penn State. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Oh boy.
Great bumper music.
Meanwhile, the door to the digital media office is closed. And there's a guy right now extending his index finger to the sky.
No question.
You wonder why Matt continues to move up the ladder in the company.
He'll be running it soon. So, Steve, a big party when Bucknell comes to University Park in the Bryce Jordan Center to play the Lions. I think Dick Girardi ought to host it out in the tailgates of the parking lot.
Yeah, I can see DJ doing that now.
And you know what? In all seriousness, it's only 3 months till basketball season. Holy cow.
So, yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I watched Penn State work out 3 times this summer. So I took some time to go over there and watch. And you know, I do that every summer. I get over like 3 or 4 times. Because I at least want to get a look at what's going on.
Of course, see who's there.
Well, yeah, but just in, here's one of the important parts. In case anybody asks a question, I can answer it.
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, like Chris called earlier, we were able to talk and answer questions.
That was a great call, by the way.
It was. Terrific call. And Chris was spot on. I mean, I agree with everything he said. But I think that that's one of the reasons you go all the time is a couple things. Number one, you have a really good handle on what's going on. And number two, you can answer questions.
Well, and Steve, let's face it. You're the guy, the point man, and the face of Penn State football and basketball to a lot of fans. And
that's a scary thought.
It is a scary thought, but it's a true one. And so you constantly get asked questions of, what about this? What about that? Whether it's, you know, who's coming to play or who's on the schedule or how's this particular player going to be this year, people look to you.
That's scary, Bob.
That's why it is scary.
That frightens the daylights out of people. Well, don't scare the passengers.
That's true. Yep.
Hey, Bob, great to have you with us again.
Steve, my pleasure. Looking forward to tomorrow already.
All right. Tomorrow, Stephen Means from Cleveland.com will join us. We'll talk college football with him. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.